Gee, I wish we had a special version of that with sleigh bells in it or something. It certainly seemed a lot more appropriate. Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy presented every Friday night here on KCRW. And yes, tonight is our all-star Christmas show. Everybody else is doing it, right? Why not? Actually, it's a chance to listen to some things which seem inappropriate the rest of the year, and which we actually get to listen to, because there has been some very funny stuff done about Christmas, and that's what we'll be listening to tonight. It seems as if the obvious approach to take in doing Christmas comedy is to satirize the over-commercialization of Christmas, and although it is an obvious approach to take, it's been taken with expertise, wit, cleverness, and wonderfulness by a few of the people we'll be listening to tonight, beginning with a funny stuff favorite, Mr. Tom Lehrer.
It's always seemed to me, after all, that Christmas, with its spirit of giving, offers us all a wonderful opportunity each year to reflect on what we all most sincerely and deeply believe in. I refer, of course, to money. And yet none of the Christmas carols that you hear on the radio or in the street even attempts to capture the true spirit of Christmas as we celebrate it in the United States. That is to say, the commercial spirit. So I should like to offer the following Christmas carol for next year as being perhaps a bit more appropriate. Christmas time is here, by golly, disapproval would be folly. Deck the halls with hunks of holly, fill a cup and don't say when. Kill the turkeys, ducks, and chickens, mix the punch, drag out the dickens. Even though the prospect sickens, brother, here we go again. On Christmas Day, you can't get sore. Your fellow man you must adore. There's time to rob him all the more. The other 360 of war. Relations, sparing no expense, send some useless old utensil or a matching pen and pencil. Just the thing I need. How nice. It doesn't matter how sincere it is, nor how heartfelt the spirit. Sentiment will not endear it. What's important is the price. Hark, the Herald Tribune sings, advertising wondrous things. God rest ye merry merchants, may ye make the Yuletide pay. Angels we have heard on high tell us to go out and buy. So let the raucous sleigh bells jingle, hail our dear old friend Kris Kringle, driving his reindeer across the sky. Don't stand underneath when they fly by.
Morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Ah, humbug, everybody.
Good morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Well, the meeting will come to order, if you please. Are all the advertising people represented here?
Everyone except Amalgamated Cheese.
Well, if they're not here for the Christmas pitch, I can't help them find new ways of tying their product into Christmas. That's why I'm chairman of this board. Let's hear it for me.
Hear, hear, hear!
All right, Abercrombie, what are your people up to?
Oh, same thing as every year. 50,000 billboards showing Santa Claus pausing to refresh himself with our product.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the public has come to expect that.
That's right. It's become tradition.
Fine, fine. You there, Crass. I suppose your company's running the usual magazine ad showing cartons of your cigarettes peeking out of the top of Santa's sack.
Better than that. This year we have him smoking one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It got Santa a little more rugged, too. Both sleeves rolled up and a tattoo on each arm. One of them says, Merry Christmas.
Well, what does the other one say?
Less tars.
Great stuff.
But Mr. Scrooge.
Well, who are you?
Bob Cratchit, sir. I've got a little spice company over in East Orange, New Jersey. Do I have to tie my product into Christmas?
What do you mean?
Well, I was just going to send cards out showing the three wise men following the Star of Bethlehem.
I get it. And they're burying your spices. No, that's perfect.
No, no product in it. I was just going to say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Period.
Well, that's a peculiar slogan.
Old hat, Cratchit. That went out with button shoes. You're a businessman. Christmas is something to take advantage of. A red and green bandwagon to jump on. A sentimental shot in the arm for sales. Listen.
Deck the halls with advertising. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Why, you can be enterprising. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 4 bars of soap, 3 cans of peas, 2 breakfast foods, and some toothpaste on a pear tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
5 tubeless tires,
4 quarts of gin,
3 cigars,
2 cigarettes, and some hair tonic on a pear tree. Chestnuts roasting.
Say, Mother, as sure as there's an X in Christmas, you can be sure those are Tiny Tim chestnuts roasting. Tiny Tim chestnuts are full-bodied, longer-lasting. This visible shell protects the nut. Now with XK29 added for people who can't roast after every meal.
Tiny Tim, chestnuts all the way.
Tiny Tim's roast hot like a chestnut hot. And they are mild.
Words to live by, Cratchit.
Ah, for you, maybe. Can't you just wish someone a Merry Christmas for the pure joy of doing it?
Why? What's the percentage in that? Let me show you how to make Christmas work for you.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And please buy our beer.
There you go, Cratchit. That's Christmas with a purpose.
I know, but wait a minute. Don't you guys make enough profit the other 11 months? Christmas comes but once a year.
Funny thing you should bring that up. That's exactly the point I was about to make. Hit it, boys. Christmas comes but once a year, so you better make hay while the snow is falling. Oh, that's opportunity calling you.
Jingle bells, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Rub your hands, December's here. What a wonderful time to be glad and merry.
But just so you're mercenary too.
Buy an ad and show all the toys. Show all the toys up on the shelf.
Just make sure that you get a plug. You get a plug in for yourself. Christmas comes but once a year, so you better cash in while the spirit lingers. It's slipping through your fingers, boy. Don't you realize Christmas can be such a monetary joy?
Well, I guess you fellas will never change.
Why should we? Christmas has 2 S's in it, and they're both dollar signs.
Yeah, but they weren't there to begin with.
Hmm?
The people keep hoping you'll remember, but you never do.
Remember what?
Whose birthday we're celebrating.
Well, don't get me wrong. The story of Christmas and its simplicity is a good thing. I buy that. It's just that we know a good thing when we see it.
But don't you realize Christmas has a significance, a meaning?
A sales curve. Wake up, Cratchit. It's later than you think.
I know, Mr. Scrooge. I know.
On the first day of Christmas, the advertising's there. With newspaper ads,
billboards too,
business Christmas cards,
and commercials on a pear tree.
Jingles here, jingles there, jingles all the way.
Dashing through the snow in a 50-foot coupe. O'er the fields we go, selling all the way. Deck the halls with advertising. What's the use of compromising? Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
That was Mr. Stan Freberg. Boy, that piece just, I don't know, it gets played every Christmas. Everybody plays it, and it still hasn't lost any of its power. By the way, if you're listening, Stan Freberg, or if anybody out there is listening that knows Stan Freberg, I've been trying to get him on this program and have reached brick walls every time. So if somebody out there knows him, or if you're listening yourself, Stan, get a hold of me. I'd love to do a couple shows with you. Anyhow, back to the business at hand, which is Christmas. One of the most insipid Christmas songs, the one that just somehow, once they get started on it, you know that it's going to be a while before they end it because it's so damn long, is The 12 Days of Christmas. And it's probably one of the easiest ones to lampoon. And here are two versions, beginning with Mr. Alan Sherman.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a Japanese transistor radio.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
green polka dot pajamas
and a Japanese transistor radio.
It's a Nakashima.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a calendar book with the name of my insurance man.
Green polka dot pajamas and a Japanese transistor radio.
It's the Mark IV model. That's the one that's discontinued.
On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a simulated alligator wallet.
A calendar book with the name of my insurance man.
Green polka dot pajamas.
And a Japanese transistor radio.
And it comes in a leatherette case with holes in it so you could listen right through the case.
On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a statue of a lady with a clock where her stomach ought to be.
A simulated alligator wallet. A calendar book with the name of my insurance man.
Green polka dot pajamas.
And a Japanese transistor radio.
And it has a wire with a thing on one end that you could stick in your ear and a thing on the other end that you can't stick anywhere because it's bent.
On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a hammered aluminum nutcracker and all that other stuff.
And a Japanese transistor radio. On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a pink satin pillow that says San Diego with fringe all around it and all that other stuff.
And a Japanese transistor radio. On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
an indoor plastic birdbath.
All that other stuff.
And a Japanese transistor radio.
On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a pair of teakwood shower clocks.
And a Japanese transistor radio. On the tenth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
a chromium combination manicure scissors and cigarette lighter.
And a Japanese transistor radio. On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
an automatic vegetable slicer that works when you see it on television, but not when you get it home.
And a Japanese transistor radio.
On the 12th day of Christmas, although it may seem strange, on the 12th day of Christmas, I'm going to exchange an automatic vegetable slicer that works when you see it on television, but not when you get it home.
Chromium combination manicure scissors and cigarette lighter.
Pair of teakwood shower clocks.
Indoor plastic birdbath.
A pink satin pillow that says San Diego with fringe all around it.
Hammered aluminum nutcracker.
Statue of a lady with a clock where her stomach ought to be.
Simulated alligator wallet.
A calendar book with the name of my insurance man.
Green polka dot pajamas.
And a Japanese transistor. Rainy. Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody!
Okay, now, this is our Christmas song, in case you don't know what to get somebody for Christmas.
There's lots of ideas in here, so listen and don't get stuck.
Okay. By the way, that's me on the organ.
You start.
Okay. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a beer. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtlenecks and a beer. Okay, good. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French toasts, two turtlenecks and a beer. Okay, that should be more there, right?
Where?
On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
4 pounds of back bacon, 3 French toasts, 2 turtlenecks, and a beer in a tree.
See, you need more.
A 5th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 5 golden toques, 4 pounds of back bacon, 3 French toasts, 2 turtlenecks, and a beer in a tree.
Okay, on the 6th, 2 golden.
Christmas, my true love gave to me 6 packs of 2 4s,
5 golden toques,
4 pounds of back bacon,
3 French toasts,
2 turtlenecks,
and a beer in a tree.
Okay.
On the 7th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 7 packs of smoke.
Nice gift. Oh, 6 packs of 2 4s.
5 golden toques, 4 pounds of back bacon,
3 French toasts,
2 turtlenecks,
and a beer
in a tree.
This should just be the 2 days of Christmas. It's too hard for us. Go, Hoser.
Oh, 8 days of Christmas, true love gave to me 8 comic books, 7 packs of smokes, 6 packs of 2 4s,
5 golden toques, 4 pounds of back
and
3 French toasts,
2 turtles,
and a beer.
That beer is empty. Okay, day 12.
Good day, and welcome to day 12.
Yeah.
5 golden toques, 4 pounds of back bacon, 3 French toasts, 2 turtlenecks, and a beer in a tree.
Where did you learn to do that?
Albums.
Oh. So, like, that's our song. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And good day.
Good day, everybody. Happy New Year. Left out?
What?
Donuts. I told you to get me donuts. Either on the 9th day or the 10th day or the 11th day.
Okay, the
I
song's
donuts,
over.
But I want
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Or on the 12th day, you could have gotten me 12 donuts.
Go on to the
you
stores.
You could have gone down
get some
to,
presents.
Like a good donut shop where if you buy a dozen, you get another one free. And that would have been 13 for the 13 days of Christmas.
Next Christmas, get me a chainsaw.
Take off.
Boy. That song was a beauty. It moved me.
Yeah, I think it ranks up there with Stairway to Heaven.
What?
Well, I certainly think it ranks up there with Stairway to Heaven. Those were the McKenzie brothers, Bob and Doug McKenzie, as portrayed by Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas, formerly of SCTV fame. Those two wild Canadians. And before that, we heard Alan Sherman. Now for the irreverent part. I hope we don't offend anybody with this. This is Peter Cook and Dudley Moore with their version of the story of the birth of Christ. It's an interview with a shepherd, and it's from their Broadway show entitled Good Evening. It was also in Britain called Behind the Fridge, which was a takeoff on the fact that they were charter members of Beyond the Fringe. And here it is. It's entitled The Gospel Truth.
Yeah, stop that, will you? Get off her. She's only a young one. Get off.
Oh, when the saints come marching in. Hello.
Hello.
I believe you are Mr. Arthur Shepherd.
That's right. Shepherd by name, shepherd by nature. Oh. Hello, my flock are lowing.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, that's rather good, that one. I never heard that one before.
There's a new one on me.
Yeah, that's a new one on her. Will you get off?
Let me introduce myself, Arthur. My name is Matthew.
Hello, Matthew.
You may have heard of me and my colleagues, Mark, Luke and John.
I know you lot. You're celebrities. Let me shake you by the hand.
Certainly.
Could I touch your raiment?
By all means.
Thank you.
All right.
Best raiment I ever touched.
Yeah. Jolly good. Let me explain, Arthur. We are doing an in-depth profile of Jesus.
Oh, yeah?
You may know him as the Messiah.
No, I don't know.
What, you don't know him?
Yeah, I know him as Jesus.
Oh, fine.
Not that other thing.
Oh, I see, right.
Which newspaper do you work for?
I work for the Bethlehem Star.
Oh, yeah. The wife and I take the Star, actually.
Oh, jolly good.
Don't think much of your racing, tipster.
Oh?
I had 3 shekels on that camel in the 3:15 at Galilee. It's still bloody running, that one.
Well, I don't work on that side of the paper myself. You know, I work on the more serious side, reportage.
Oh, reportage, yes. Very serious work.
Yes, indeed. And as I was saying, Arthur, we are doing this in-depth profile of Jesus, yeah. And I gather that you were actually in on the very first moment surrounding the birth of the Holy Child.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
That is marvellous.
Oh, good.
Now, what I'd like you to do, if you're willing, of course, is tell me what happened in your own words.
Well, it's quite simple, really.
Oh, marvellous.
Basically, what happened was that me and the lads were abiding in the fields.
Abiding in the fields.
Yeah. Mind you, personally, I can't abide these fields. I mean, look around you. They are unabidable fields.
Yeah.
I say these are the most unabidable bleeding fields I've ever had to abide in.
Yeah. I'll abide by that. you were abiding in the fields, Arthur.
Yeah, and we were watching our flocks by night.
Watching our flocks by night, yes.
Yeah, because that's when you have to watch them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's when they get up to all their rubbish.
Oh, right, yeah.
Hot summer nights, the rams go mad.
Yeah.
Especially that one over there. He's a filthy little bugger. Oh, they cut that out. Doing that in front of you, a holy man.
Well, it's only human.
I may be a bit old-fashioned, but I don't like to see one ram doing it to another.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, blimey, he's an enthusiast, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, top marks for enthusiasm, zero for accuracy.
It's a bit distracting, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sorry about all those ramifications going on down there. But I've got no control over them.
Ah, well, they're only young ones, aren't they?
Yeah, I think I'll get my next lot from Gomorrah.
Oh. Arthur, you were abiding in the fields,
yeah.
And you were watching your flocks by night.
Yeah.
Then what happened?
Well, much to our surprise, the angel of the Lord flew down.
That must have been a fantastic experience.
Well, it made a break, you know. bit of a change just from abiding, him suddenly flashing down like that.
But how did you know it was the angel of the Lord?
Tell you what the giveaway was, Matthew. It was this ethereal glow he was emanating.
Ah.
He was emanating this ethereal glow.
Right.
And as soon as I saw him emanating, I said, hello, angel of the Lord.
Yeah. Halo?
Halo, certainly, yeah. Halo and goodbye, we said afterwards. Because he wasn't there for long. He just delivered his little message and he was off like a bat out of hell.
Wings, I suppose.
Oh, wings. I have never seen such a gorgeous pair on a man.
Really?
They were outstanding wings. All gossamer, shimmering there in the starlight.
Oh, it must have been remarkable.
It was, I noticed it.
Yeah. What did he say to you, Arthur?
Well, he sort of singled me out from the other lowly shepherd folk like.
How marvellous.
And he said, unto ye a child is born.
Yes.
Unto ye a son is given.
Yeah, what was your reaction?
Total shock. I mean, I wasn't even married at the time. And I thought, blimey, what was I doing this time last year, you know?
Yes, yes.
Could it be that little bird I met down the Shepherd's Delight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But the angel of the Lord... the angel of the Lord went on to explain that when he said ye, he didn't mean me personal, like. He meant ye in the sense of the whole world. Under the whole world a child is born.
Under
the
whole
world the son is given.
Yeah, he was using the universal ye.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't know that because I'm not educated.
No, that's what he was using, though, the universal ye.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, lovely use of it, too.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And he went on to say, you shall find the child lying in a manger, all meanly wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Oh, lovely language.
He was very effluent.
Yeah. I suppose your first reaction was to whip over there and have a peep.
Naturally, we all dashed down the stable. But when I arrived, I was in for a bit of a shock.
Go on.
I will. Because when he said, you shall find the child all meanly wrapped in swaddling clothes, I thought to myself, fair enough, it'll be fairly meanly wrapped, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing flash, nothing gaudy.
Yeah, right.
But when I got there, it was diabolical. It's the meanest bit of wrapping I've ever seen. What's more, that kid was barely swaddled.
Good Lord.
I say, it's the worst job of wrapping and swaddling I've ever seen in my life. Terrible wrapping, atrocious swaddling.
Oh, how very distressing.
It was alarming to behold.
I'm sure it was, Arthur. Now, Arthur, I want you to think back in time.
I'll do it now, if you like.
No. Now, what I meant was think back now to then.
That's what I meant. Think back to then, now.
Right. Now, then. What was what's the atmosphere like in the stable on this joyous, historic occasion?
The atmosphere in the stable was very, very smelly. there were all these cows and goats and sheep and camel about, and they had no sense of occasion.
That's a fascinating sidelight, but what I was really after was, what was the atmosphere like amongst the members of the Holy Family?
Oh, the personal atmosphere?
Yeah.
In one word, tense.
Tense? You surprised me.
Joseph in particular. He was sitting in the corner of the stable, looking very gloomy indeed.
He might have been feeling a bit disgruntled, not being the real father.
I think that was it.
Yeah.
I think he felt left out of the whole thing.
Yeah, right.
And personally, I think this is why he'd done such a rotten job on the swaddling.
Yes.
You know, he just couldn't be bothered to swaddle.
No, no.
And let's face it, there have been a lot of tittle-tattle about his wife and the Holy Ghost.
Oh, no.
I mean, rumours have been flying round Bethlehem.
Yeah, right.
As indeed the Holy Ghost must have been.
Yeah. Was the Holy Ghost there?
Hard to say.
Yeah.
He's an elusive little bugger at the best of times, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I didn't see him, and I was very disappointed, because I felt very strongly at the time that he should have been there.
Mm.
You know, in his capacity as the Godfather.
Yeah. Well, especially after his treatment of the Virgin Mary, making her an offer she couldn't refuse.
Yeah. And making her an offer she didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Achoo!
Yeah. Anyway, I gather later on in the evening, three wise men came by. Am I right there?
Three wise men arrived, yeah.
Yeah?
Three bloody idiots, ever I saw any.
Yeah.
In they come, call themselves Maggie.
Three blokes come in and call themselves Maggie?
Yeah. They peered round the stable door, said, hello, we're Maggie.
How very embarrassing.
We didn't know where to look.
No.
And they were bearing these gifts, you see.
Yeah.
Gold, frankincense, and meh.
That's M-E-H, isn't it?
I think so, yes.
Very nice of them to have brought those along. Very nice of them to have brought those along, eh?
Well, I think the gold was probably welcome, but what's a little kid going to do with frankincense and meh? I ask you.
I suppose you're right, actually.
I mean, meh is that stuff what poofs put behind their ears, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Over-perfumed ointment muck.
Yeah, right.
But Jesus! He was so polite about it. I'll never forget. He sat up in the manger. He adjusted his swaddling. He said, thank you, gentlemen, for these lovely prizzies. I hope you have a safe trip back. Merry Christmas!
That was Peter Cook and Dudley Moore from the Broadway show Good Evening. Now for a special treat. One of the special features of Christmas, of course, is feasting. Everyone tends to feast at Christmas, just as they do on Thanksgiving. And here, with a unique approach to what to serve those guests on Christmas, is KCRW's own Harry Shearer as Vin Scully with a suggestion for Christmas.
No holiday brings a more welcome glow to the calendar than Christmas time. And no wonder. It's a time of lights and magic, and Santa delivering special packages on Christmas morning. This year, Santa has something very special in mind. What about specially wrapped gift packs of pork sausage? From Santa, to be sure, but compliments of the famous farmer. Pork sausage as Christmas gifts? Well, sure, but only when they have the distinctive smoke-hearty goodness of these festive links and patties. You see, unlike other packers who bring their porkers out here frozen on transcontinental buses driven by scabs, the famous farmer brings them out here live. Then he pampers his piglets to the pinpoint of perfection, till the very moment of bloody slaughter. Then he washes them off slowly in cold tap water, the old-time Western way. So, in the morning after the night before Christmas, if your stocking is filled with sausage, don't get mad. Get the frying pan and enjoy season's eatings. Compliments of the famous farmer.
That was KCRW's Harry Shearer. Harry will, by the way, be my guest next week when we listen to the best of the Credibility Gaps simulcasts of the Rose Parade. Harry's show, by the way, is heard on Sunday mornings here on KCRW, and I highly recommend it. I love it, and I'm sure you'll love it, too. And so that'll wrap up this special Christmas show. From all of us here at Funny Stuff, we'd like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. Of course, I'll be back on next week to wish you a Happy New Year, but right now let's concentrate on Christmas, so have a very Happy Christmas. Next week's show is the special New Year's show, and then the following 2 weeks will be the best of Funny Stuff based on my favorites and your favorites. And if you'd like to let me know of your favorites, the address is Bob Claster, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. And I think that's going to about do it for this Christmas. As I said, I hope you have a wonderful and safe Christmas, and I hope you get what you wanted, if you wanted something, and I hope everybody likes the presents that you got them, because everybody knows that's at least half the battle right there. And that's about it. This is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for joining me, wishing you all a Merry Christmas, and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!